You are listening to the Pinkney Show. You are listening to the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, it has been quite a week. I just got in from Colorado Springs, Colorado, less than an hour ago. But we're ready today to do something incredible. We have continued to pound the NAACP, an organization that's out of touch with the black community, and a bunch of sellouts. I tell you, what's happening with the NAACP is criminal, and yet the people have failed to stand up and say a word about it. It's time that the people move this thing to a whole different level. It's time that we say enough is enough. It's time that we start challenging the people who are selling us out. I'm talking about Ben Jealous. I'm talking about the NAACP. I'm talking about L. Sharpton. I'm talking about the Reverend Jesse Jackson. I'm talking about these folks. So until we hold them accountable, we are going to continue to be in a fog. So it's time that we move this thing to a whole different level. It's time that we change our language. We got folks out there that need our help. We got target individuals out there that's being targeted by the governor. Yet the NAACP is silent. Jesse Jackson is silent. Al Sharpton is silent. It's time that we do some things to make them understand that we are serious about what's happening in our community. And I tell you, I'm excited today. We do have a very, very special guest on today, someone who you would love to have as a friend. Someone that we all love. But right now, why don't we listen to a little Martin Luther King, and then we'll bring Elaine Raddick on.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. One day, down in Alabama with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the boogies of hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, on Thursday, I received a call from a young lady. This young lady, she claimed that the NAACP is a joke. She said they are ridiculous. They said they're not even worth the time of actually talking about. But I explained to her it's more important that we expose the NAACP for what they really are. Because for years, for the last 50 years at least, they have done exactly nothing. And after we got through talking, she agreed. And she said that she's going to burn her NAACP card. Next week, we're going to burn over 300, make that from 300 to 500 items of NAACP label equipment, hats, T-shirts, membership cards. We're going to burn at least 75 membership cards next week. Also, the trip to Washington, April the 3rd, we will be in Washington at 1156 15th Street. April the 4th, the anniversary, the 55th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King, we will be in front of the NAACP picketing. We're going to show them that we're serious about what we're doing. But on that note, I got to bring in Elaine Reddick. We'll let her tell her story. Elaine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I am fine, and you and everyone else?
Oh, girl, we having a tremendous time. It's still early. We got ourselves a full house already. Everybody want to hear what you got to say. I've told people that you was going to be on the show, and they are excited, just like I am. I tell
great.
You are someone special. And I want to, first, before we even get into the story, let you know how much we love you and really appreciate you. You see, a lot of times people don't give out these flowers and these roses until after you're dead and gone. But I think you are a true soldier, and I think that, you know, what you have been through is so tremendous. But listen, I want you to tell. You tell your story, and you can start wherever you want to. Talk to me.
Okay. First, my name is Elaine Reddick.
Mm-hmm.
I am from Windfall, North. I was born in Windfall, North Carolina. I was born in 1954, so that means I'm 59 now. When I was 13, I was a victim of rape. My mother and my father were in prison, so the court had awarded an older sibling and myself to my grandmother. My grandmother was illiterate. She didn't know how to read or write. You know, back in those times, blacks were not, when my grandmother was coming up, they were not required to get an education in the 50s and 40s, okay? And nor were they allowed to get an education in the 60s. I mean, you know, if you didn't go to school, it was okay. It was not it was not like it is now, you know,
where
you're
mandatory.
Demanded to go to school. Exactly. It was not mandatory. So anyway, I was raped, and my grandmother was receiving welfare. She was back then. It was getting food where they used to stand in a line and get this hard block cheese and powdered eggs and a dry milk and all that stuff and the beans and meat out the can, you know, horse meat. So anyway, my grandmother needed her food stamps or her food. So when the welfare lady found out that I was pregnant, she coerced my grandmother into signing a form so I could become sterilized. My grandmother didn't understand what sterilization or tubercle ligation was, so my grandmother signed away my womanhood, meaning that she signed papers so they could take my womb.
Wow.
Or they could go inside of my body and do whatever they wanted to do with it. So what they decided to do was they decided to sterilize me by means of surgical sterilization, where they clipped, tied, and burnt my tubes. I was only 14 years of age. I just turned 14 when this happened. I had a, I had a healthy baby. I didn't even know that this had happened to me until I was 19 years of age. I had gotten married at 18, and I wanted to start a family at the age of 19. And in between, you know, when I turned 15, I used to get sick all the time. I would hemorrhage like for 15 or 17 days out of a month once I got my mens. And so I was always sick from that surgery, from the operation. Little did I know that they had what they had done to me until several doctors had said, they didn't say that someone tied your tube or something like that. They told me flat out that I had been butchered. Being butchered, meaning that they had went inside of me and they had clipped, tied, and burnt my tubes, but they didn't put me back together again the way they should have. So one, they had so severely damaged my tubes until, you know, eventually, which is getting a little ahead of myself, I had to have a full hysterectomy. But before then, when I was 19, I wanted to have a baby. So I did everything in the world. I had three more surgeries trying to fix what they messed up of me. So anyway, when my last doctor told me that I had been butchered, and he explained to me, because then before I didn't know what butchered meant, because I was just 15 years old, and I was not in school, you know, so I was sort of on the illiterate side back then. So anyway, once I turned 19 and I was able to ask more questions, and the doctor explained to me that I had been sterilized. So what he tried to do was he tried to put give me a tube of plaster so I could have a baby, which meaning that they tried to sew in, make a tube for me to have a baby, but it didn't work. So when that didn't work, then we sought help after the American Civil Liberties Union. My sister had gotten me in contact with them, so I decided that, well, they did their investigation, and they, too, came up and found out that the state of North Carolina did order for me to be sterilized. We went to court, and because I didn't have anyone of my peers there, or there was no black people there either, they were like real elderly white people there, and they said that they didn't see where the state of North Carolina had, you know, did anything wrong to me. But back then, it was legal to have, for the state to say, who could be sterilized. It was legal. It was on the books that you could become sterilized within the United States. Now, there are 52 states within the United States. 32 states use and exercise that will to sterilize.
Hey, let me ask you this. Are you saying that it's okay for the state to sterilize you without your permission?
Back then it was, until I actually took it off the books. And I'm quite sure some states are still doing it. You know, like the United States period says that they only sterilize 65,000 people, but I can come up with like maybe 5 states. If 32 states within the United States did this to its citizens, then we know we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. North Carolina
They did it mostly to black people, is that correct?
Well, first it started out because before the 50s, I believe it was, here's what happened. You didn't have that many black people receiving public assistance because we were living off the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were growing our own vegetables and, you know, buying our own meats, you know, and from the people that used to come around in trucks and, you know, sell you these meats and whatever foods that you need. But basically, black people lived off of their land. But when black people started going and getting welfare, that gave the government the right to invade their privacy and come into their homes and say what they wanted and what, you know, they just gave them permission, left themselves wide open. Okay? So that's how that started. But then they were doing, it basically started with poor white people that were receiving public assistance. And then in the 60s, you know, of course, more of us started getting welfare, and that's when they dropped, the white population dropped, and the black population, it overexceeded. You know, it went from, let's say, 20% all the way up to like 90% of black people in the late 60s. It escalated towards blacks. In the late, like around 1968, or you know, when they sterilized me, you know, first they were saying that they were doing it to imbeciles, feeble-minded, kids that was disobedient, or whatever, any excuse. You know, I'm quite sure you have heard of the Mississippi appendectomy. Mississippi used to tell their people, "Hey, come in here, your appendix needs to be taken out, or they're about to burst." But it was not their appendix. What they were doing, they were luring these people in there so they could sterilize them. North Carolina would use the same technique along with feeble-mindedness, imbeciles. This is how they consider black people as being imbeciles.
Wow.
So what they started doing was a race cleansing process, you know, and they said it was for the betterment of humankind, but like the betterment for whose humankind? So what they were doing, the real program was actually set in place to eliminate black people.
Wow.
And that's exactly what they're doing. That's why they have, every time you go into a black neighborhood, you find how many abortion centers there?
That's where you find all the abortion centers mostly.
Exactly. And then once they took surgical sterilization off the books, then they started with this Detro Provera, they have a one that's worse than that.
Uh-huh.
They have Essure. It's Essure. That is totally sterilization, and it could kill you. What it does, it causes blindness, it could cripple you, it could cause, and then eventually death.
Wow. Hey, say that again so people can hear that.
That they have this newest form of sterilization, and they call that Essure. It's Essure. Essure is a contraceptive that is made out of nickel and titanium. Now, you know what happens if you get too much nickel in the blood or whatever, what do you call it? It's like mercury.
Mm-hmm.
You cause cancer and you die. So that's the newest form of sterilization now, and it is a sterilization procedure. But the thing is that once they took sterilization, surgical sterilization off the books in 2002, then in 2002 the government approved for this Eshura to go on board. And what happened is a lot of us, being black people, we don't have this, we don't get the medical attention that we need. We don't go and have the follow-ups. And a lot of these young women and women out here that's getting these contraceptions or whatever procedures done, and then they get sick, and the doctor don't tell them where it's coming from. You know, they start losing their hair, their teeth start falling out, they start getting this bone density or something, some form of malformation, and no one is telling them what it is, what is causing it. But trust me, it is these contraceptions that they're putting in their bodies, you know. But getting back to the sterilization, the state of North Carolina sterilized 7,600 people. They wasn't going after women. They were going after men. They were going after children. They were sterilizing children as young as what? The youngest was 5 years old, a little five-year-old girl. They were hitting, targeting the my generation, which was like 14, 13, 15, 16. They sterilized 2,999 children under the age of 19 without their knowledge.
Wow. That's amazing.
And by the way,
you know what? People, you know, when you tell people about this stuff, they don't believe our government could be this rotten.
Well, our government is, let me tell you something, and this is how rotten our government is. And this is really, really, is destroying a lot of people, where there are four countries in the whole wide world that will allow a woman to have a full-term abortion. That means that, I mean, this is our, in our policy. One of the policies is China is number one, the United States is number two, you have North Korea, and you have Canada. If you're 9 months pregnant, you can go and have and get an abortion, a late-term abortion. And to me, that's murder.
That is murder.
That is right, outright murder. And I was so shocked to find out that the United States have their hands in so much, they're just undermining a lot of countries, and they're our biggest enemy.
Mm.
You
wow.
know, I mean, look at this. We have all our men are in jail, more than, you know, it's just too many of our guys in jail.
Uh-huh.
We have drugs in our neighborhood. We have the abortion clinics here. And I found out that all of this comes under eugenics. And then you have the Pentagon is selling weapons to the police departments. So when SWAT and all of them go in your neighborhoods, they going in there with heavy equipment.
You know what? You are absolutely correct, and I'm just so happy that you bring this out. And, you know, people need to know more about you. I mean, because to me, you are you're history. You're someone that you know, and you're still living. And what you have what you have accomplished is amazing. Tell us about the lawsuit.
Well, 2002, the Winston-Salem Journal, after the state of North Carolina in 82, I went to court. You know, they had a trial, and like I said, like there was none of my peers, and everybody was white. They just decided North Carolina had not did anything wrong to me. So okay, so I forgot it. I moved to Georgia, and while I was here in 2002, the Winston-Salem Journal ran an article on the eugenics and the people that the eugenics target. The name of the article was Against Their Will. So that opened up the door for us to sue the state of North Carolina again. They had two governors said, apologize and said that we should be compensated. Okay, the House voted in our favor. But then here comes the Senate, you know, which is basically white people.
Absolutely.
And they again said that if we pay this group of people here money, then here come other groups coming in saying that we owe them money, and we knew they was talking about a family of slaves, right? We
mm-hmm.
knew that they was talking about black slave people that they mm-hmm. would have to pay. So the guy turns around and says, we are not going to do that, that they're not responsible, you know. And so anyway, but so we lost that one again. But now I've started a class action lawsuit against the state of North Carolina.
Wow.
And hoping that other people will follow. Other, you know, I would like to create something like the domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once the state of North Carolina, I mean, they have already said that they were guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They,
you know, they admitted
that
they were
that.
Guilty.
Yeah.
So now other
you're
states
such a
off,
amazing, you're such an amazing lady. And I tell you, I have to take my hat off to you. And, you know, you're going to be an inspiration for so many other people. And your story is out there, and we, you know, we just need it told. So to me, that's the most important thing that we can say and do. I know how difficult it is for you, but hey, we're in full support of you, and you can say whatever your heart desires. You got about 4 minutes, and then we got to go to Burn Baby Burn. But you got 4 minutes to say what you want, and if you don't get everything you want in this week, Reverend Dr. Elvira King will be on next week, and I would love for you to be on with her also. Talk to me.
Okay. Well, you know, the whole idea is that while we have the United Nations, you know, and people don't realize that these crimes that our government is inflicting on us are crimes against humanity. We don't have anybody to speak up for us. You know, and they already know that we are only, we used to be maybe like 12% of the United States population. I mean, I'm sorry, we used to be like around 20% of the United States population, if not more. And they have killed us off so badly until we only make up 12% of the population.
Yes.
And that is due by the eugenics, because the eugenics, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, all of them are the eugenics. And another thing is that we go out there and we buy and get these people rich by buying their appliances, buying their clothes. Like you have Hanes Pantyhose, you have the Rockefellers, you have Procter Gamble, you have Kellogg's, you have all of these people. They are the ones that support Planned Parenthood and the eugenics. And then on top of that, you don't even know. You might be totally against murder, and you might be totally against abortions, but you don't know as a taxpayer. I have to ask you, do you know where your money is going? Your money is going being pooled with the rest of these people, and it's paying for these things to happen to people.
Wow.
Your taxpayers' money is taxpayers' money that is funding the eugenics and Planned Parenthood, along with Procter Gamble, Hanes Pantyhose, and Kellogg's, and all of these people, Rockefellers, and all of that. And then we have another thing. You have the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates are talking about going into Africa right now, injecting, I think, 180,000 women and little children. That's exactly right. And they call it the vaccination and the vaccine. You know, you don't even know why these people are on the street. You don't know why these people are committing crimes, and yet and still they can go over there, and we have poverty right here. You know, so instead of them paying all that money for that, why don't they just help us out? But you see, they put you in a corner.
Wow.
You know, we can't, you know, some of us might get in. But they put you all together so they can keep the eye on you and they can watch you.
That's amazing. That's amazing, Elaine. I tell you, and you know, some of the things that's happening today is so incredible that you know it's enough to drive you mad. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
And,
it is.
You know, I can understand some of the things that some of these people are doing because it's our government.
It is our government.
We're surrounded by evil.
Yeah,
and
they're keeping the. They're keeping the people from. They take your jobs away. They're bringing in these illegal aliens here to do your job. And as I said one time, look, I sent them a post and said, you know, my ancestors worked, enslaved, and died to build this country. It's their blood that's on the ground. And you're going to do what? You're going to bring these other people in here with my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and her mother breastfed your children?
Wow. That's,
and you're going to do what?
Talk to
you
me.
You know, and my children are out, and I mean, I only have one son, but generally speaking, my children are out here, my people are out here starving to death. Because you're taking their jobs away. And then I'm thinking, why are you bringing these people over here? You know, is it because, you know, you want to put them up against me?
Absolutely.
Generally speaking, you don't want to get your hands wet, so you are letting murderers and drug dealers come in here with the meth and the ice and all this crap. You're letting them come here, but yet and still you look at the black man and say, this is where he's doing that. He's where he want to be. No, he's where you put him at.
That's right. Absolutely. Listen, Elaine, we just ran out of time on that segment. We got to go to our NAACP Burn Baby Burn, but I'm going to ask you to come back next week with along with the Reverend Dr. Elvira King, the niece of the Reverend Martin Luther King, and I want you to just stay with us and stay on the show because I'm going to let you have the last word. I want you to have the very last word today. So please just bear with us. It's time to burn your NAACP card. So please don't go anywhere, Elaine. We need you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Talking about a revolution. After listening to Elaine Reddick talk today, I tell you, if that don't get you riled up, I don't think nothing will. When are black folks gonna start taking a stand? When are we gonna say enough is enough? What do they have to do to us for us to get angry and upset? Please, everybody out there, wise up. They targeting people. My TIs, they got them running. But they got somebody who know how to fight. But on that note, I got to bring in my dear friend, Dr. Short. Dr. Short, you there?
Yes.
How you doing today?
I'm good. Greater is God that is in us than the black necks in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for having Sister Riddick, who I believe is a relative of mine. We have the same name. All the men in my family had the name Riddick for over 200 years. They're from the same part of Carolina. So when she said, when you talk about when are we going to stand up, the first time I saw her story on the film Miafa 21, let's repeat that, Miafa spelled M-A-A-F-A 21, it is online. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes of the most important information any person of color should look at. I saw this sister in my Alpha 21, and I felt like someone had stabbed me in my heart. I never thought I'd meet her, but thanks to Dr. Alvita, not Elvira, Alvita King, she's putting folks together. And the reason I want to follow, you know, I got to tell y'all some stories. I'm going to try to do it quickly, Reverend Pinkney.
All right, now go ahead, take care of your business.
Forces moving against us. I need to remind people, the Tuskegee experiment was done by Tuskegee University with the government on poor black people. The black necks at Tuskegee, the ones with jobs, allowed hundreds, if not thousands, of black people to be destroyed while they got paid. And I have every reason to believe that the NAACP chapter down in Tuskegee knew all about it all along. Yes, I'm dark in the NAACP. I'm going to give you another scandal going back to 1917. It's called the Herman Benelot Mowens case. I wrote about this when I was a grad student at the University of Virginia. This fake scientist who claimed he could prove that blacks and whites and everybody were identical. He was from Holland, or he was Dutch. He tricked the NAACP leadership, and they loved him. And he was doing all this experimentation on black girls in the D.C. covered school system. It was found out later he was making porn, kiddie porn. And he claimed in his own testimony in 1919 that he had had sex with 5,000 black female minors. Did the NAACP step in? No. The government had to step in. You get my point, Reverend Pinckney? Our women need the black men to stand up and protect them because they are predators and sellouts in high places that are the biggest liars, the pigs. They're the new slave traders. And we have to fight them. It is a fight to the death against those who destroy us for their own personal benefit.
You're absolutely right.
I want to go on and say the NAACP is a partner with Planned Parenthood. Back when Margaret Sanger in 1937 created a genocide program called the Negro Project, Margaret Sanger reached out to two entities. She reached out to the Ku Klux Klan, and she reached out to the NAACP. And the NAACP has supported the extermination of black people ever since. They just don't want it to be too quickly, too fast. And I don't care who doesn't like what I'm saying. Damn them, they need to stop supporting them. Now, the reason I'm angry is there was a march for Hugo Chavez, the first black president of Venezuela that President Obama and them had killed. He was murdered, same way they had Gaddafi killed, and the same way they tried to kill the president of Syria and they're going to try to get the president of Malaysia. Need to say this to you, that this march, two black lesbian feminists, probably paid, came out and began to denounce our march that we planned for April 3rd and April 4th. April 3rd in Washington, D.C., at 1156 15th Street in front of the Washington Bureau of the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People. We will be in their face, and then we will go over to 4805 Hope Drive in Baltimore at the national headquarters of the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People and tell them we won't take it. They can't live off of past reputation. And like I said last week, the NAACP has its fingers in a whole lot of black blood. I mean that. I repeat that. Imagine if someone like Sister Elaine Riddick had been able to go to black doctors. Let me remind you, the NAACP didn't fight for the Bakke case to be thrown out because they're a Zionist organization funded by radical, bigoted, Talmudic Jews who created this organization to keep black people from having their own businesses or seeking independent political power. And it's like that document I have that shows that the NAACP in 1965, 48 years ago, went forward. Part of its plan to reconfigure its image is to do nothing for poor black people. That's 3 years before this sister got attacked. And let's bring it up to now. Last year, the North Carolina president of the NAACP, I call him Reverend Man Titty, the fat, morbidly obese William Barber of the NAACP, he's president, they did practically nothing for Sister Elaine Riddick. This same fat behemoth of a man, this slob, went around all over the country promoting same-sex marriage. But he had no love in his heart for our women who've been butchered on the inside like Sister Elaine Riddick. That's why I'm angry. And I'm going to say something. I don't care about any two Fred and Barney-looking radical lesbian feminists who do everything except say yabba-dabba-do. Come into our women's minds and tell them to be against black men. You and I, Reverend Pinckney, and a whole lot of other righteous black men out there love women a hell of a lot more than folks who think that getting an abortion is like getting a PhD or putting women on life-threatening contraceptives It's some sort of rite of passage. You know, last week my mother went to speak at the Way of the Cross Mother Church here in Washington, D.C., about Depo Provera. And by the time it ended, four women in my family who had all nearly died came up and began to tell my mother what Depo Provera had done to them, and they had no idea that it was Depo Provera until my mother told them. And these are women with good jobs and medical care. It's the same way my cousin up in Brooklyn went in for a mammogram, and the doctors could see what Depo Provera had done to the cells in her breast but wouldn't tell her what they saw. So we've got black nurses and doctors who want to get money from Pfizer, which is a racist and vicious multinational corporation that hates poor people and everybody else. And they pay off the NAACP, and they've got their plant on the NAACP national board, that wicked dragon woman of Depo Provera, Karen Boykinstown. They also had a little sneaky, rabbinical, vicious Jew, Rabbi Saperstein, the one who first started doing gay marriage. If you wonder why, the NAACP, like, we're going to have a sign. It's going to be, Ben J is just for gay. Mm. That's the sign I'm going to be carrying. Why rich, white, homosexual men who've got dogs and townhouses, they can afford lawyers, why they need so much help, and folks like Elaine don't get nothing. I'm sick and tired, and I'll say this to any of you. If you put your sexuality ahead of the survival of your people, you're a traitor. I don't care who you sleep with. But if you get down with this radical feminazi agenda that is willing to sit on the sidelines and watch our women be destroyed chemically or butchered on the inside, you're a traitor. This new movement's going to hold women accountable. We give a lot of sisters a pass because they don't have something swinging between their thighs. But we've got to start saying to black women, they're the ones with the jobs. They're the ones going to school. You're going to have to woman up. If you say you're the backbone of our community, then, damn it, be the backbone. Don't sit back and only care about your job. That's treason. I saw the movie Django, and it made me angry because he shot the Uncle Tom, and he let the two belly warmers go. I would have iced them, too. And a new movement for accountability means that it doesn't matter what your sex is. Real equality, ladies, means that being equal means that you're accountable for what you do. You don't just get a pass because you're a woman. And I feel the same way about these no-good men. I want to say this about Al Sharpton's group. Al Sharpton met with Kwame Fosu of the Rebecca Project Thursday last week. And guess what? Al Sharpton couldn't commit. If it wasn't last week, it was the week before. Couldn't commit to being against Depo Provera, even though the head of the Washington part of the National Action Network, his wife, is sick to near dying from Depo Provera. If you want to know how Al is, he's nothing but he looks like a cross between a bad Diana Ross impersonator and Ronald McDonald on crack. I mean, it's outrageous that we have these kind of buffoons representing us. We need to be free. Last thing, we had our meeting with Cynthia McKinney and others, and I am part of the plebiscite committee. On that plebiscite, a plebiscite is something that you send before thousands of people. We want your support when we send this out, Reverend Pinckney.
Yes.
For people, to one of the things that our community demands that the UN and other people come in to support is no more eugenics, no more Planned Parenthood, no more nine-month abortions, a third trimester abortions in places called chop shops. And the other thing I'm going to say, and I'm done, there's a company called Cinemix. S-Y-N-O-M-I-X or Y-X. One or the other, you'll find it. It's right there in Wikipedia. Do you realize that the junk food, the processed food that's making folks like my brother, who's morbidly obese, 550 pounds in the hospital as I speak, they're putting HK293. These are human kidney cells from aborted babies that they put in all the junk food, gummy bears, Starbucks coffee, Jell-O. They're putting aborted baby cells. All these people talking about choice. We didn't have a choice over whether we had baby cells put in our food. We don't have a choice. They put parts of aborted babies. If this is what choice is, they're crazy. And you know, the only other thing I'm going to say, all of those liars out there that call this butchery of our women health care, I want them to explain to me what in the hell they did to my sister Elaine's health care. There's no damn part of health care. That is genocide. And our women need real health care. They need to get mammograms and prenatal care. But they don't need every time someone's coming to them with a syringe or something to rip something out of them the same way they steal the minerals out of Africa or inject them with something that's not safe.
Wow.
We need to stand up, and we need to confront the frauds, the NAACP, the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People, the NAACP, National Association for the Abortion of Colored People, Let's Don't Get Free, and all the others that get money from Bill, who's a Nazi, his father was a Nazi, and his wife is just a Nazi trick herself. We don't need any of their money. We have enough money as a people to take care of ourselves. We want them out of Africa, and we want them out of our communities.
Wow. Dr. Randy Short, I tell you, you give us enough information to last the whole day. Actually, it'll last a whole week until you come on next week. Hey, I really appreciate you. You know, what you're saying is so tremendous, and I hope people get it. But listen, Randy, I want you to come on, hang on with us. And once again, I'd like to give Elaine will get the last word today, but I'm going to let you have the word before her, and then we can take it from there. Okay, my brother?
I've got to
bring on my dear friend, my guy, a person who I love. And it doesn't hold us against him because he's from New York. But before we bring him on, I always like to pray for his wife. So let's bow our head just for a second. Gracious Father, we come today, first of all, to thank you, to praise your name, to lift you up, to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, to thank you for salvation. Thank you for loving us first. Lord, we need you so much. We know we can't do nothing without you, Lord. We thank you today for all your marvelous blessings, all your past blessings, present blessings, future blessings. But most of all, we'd like to thank you for what you've already done. We'd like to thank you for Lynn Stewart. We ask you to put your arms around her. We ask that you touch her mind right now, touch her heart right now, touch her soul right now, touch her spirit right now. Touch her where she may be having that little cancer, because if she got it, Lord, I know you can heal it. I know that for a fact. You mean, because I believe in you, and I'm standing on that word. I know that we could do nothing without you. I know that for a fact. That's why I love you so much. That's why I need you. I can't do without you. And I want you to touch Lynn Stewart. And then I want you to go touch my TIs, these target individuals. I want you to touch them, Lord, because we can't do what we need to do without you. And I want you to touch Elaine. Touch her. Give her strength, Lord. Touch her right now. Let this be done in your son Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen and amen and amen. And let me bring on my dear friend, Ralph Point. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, listening to every word and thanking you for your prayers. And as I have said over and over to Lynn Stewart, if there was only some way we could get your voice to her, and your prayers. And after your first prayer, I told her if she could hear you, she would be healed instantly. But because she cannot hear you, because it only has to go through those who listen to you and those who write to you or write to her when they listen to you, she will get the message, and we will all pray for her. But back to the work that you are doing for all of us out here, and that work is education. We are being educated when we listen to the program, and that is the root of the problem. There is a story written by a woman, a narrative about how they were on the islands, and they overcame the slaveholders on the island, and they wanted to go back to Africa. And the slaveholders tricked them and landed them on the shores of North Carolina. And the end of the book was, the woman made a statement, "I can forgive you for the beatings, I can forgive you for the rape, I can forgive you for the work, but I can never forgive you for the act of keeping us ignorant." And now, here we are, we're learning this information, and I would like to for Elaine to know that this issue was raised many years ago when she was a baby. Back in the 50s, people were saying, how are we very upset about the German eugenics program when they learned it from America? and we learn about the European problem, the European Holocaust of the Jewish people who worshipped and were called Jews. They were killed. I do believe that they were killed. There were a lot of pictures, a lot of evidence for the Holocaust in Europe, as opposed to no pictures of the Holocaust in Africa, but we are the product of the Holocaust in Africa, so we know that it happened. The numbers were put as high as 100 million, and it is documented by many writers. And those who wrote about it so well, Sam Clemens, that is Mark Twain, who talked about King Leopold, and, well, they don't talk about that book in America. Another book that he wrote, they never published and paid his family millions of dollars to get the rights of it so that it wouldn't be published because he was so popular and it would be read, and they feared it. Information for the general public. Information that we need. And so what is the problem, the root problem in America of our people is education. Miseducation now and the lack of education then. And so these stories that you're bringing up are stories that we should know about. And one of the things that Betty, another person listening, said, well, all of these people who love Miss Obama, why don't they have Miss Obama talking about that? Question those who supported the Obamas and what they have done and what they have not done. And we have to understand, my question all of the time is, a part or the major part of that education that we are lacking in is we don't understand where we are and the nature of the American social and political and economic order. Now, that's what education is supposed to do. It's supposed to help you manipulate. It's supposed to help you to work your way through the society that you live in, to make it better for you. But when you're miseducated, it makes it worse. Now, one of the things I began to notice about American education, and I attended 3 universities, I'm close to a double master's, and I will be 79 years old in a few weeks. And I say to myself, how is it that I consider myself educated and every day I'm learning something that I didn't know about myself? How is this? And the answer is very basic. It doesn't happen because I don't know, because I'm stupid. It happens because the information is hidden. That information about myself, our history, has been hidden. And as a result, we don't put together the pieces of the puzzle as to where we are. We are in a, what do we call it, a society of capitalism. Mm. And we have no capital. And every struggle that is mounted so that we can gain capital is trampled on by the dominant society, and our so-called institutions have nothing to say about it. If you don't have a job, you don't have money, as Elaine Riddick pointed out. And an interesting thing that she said, and I hope people are listening, and when we were involved in an agrarian economy where we produced and bought our own produce, and it's like Tulsa, when this black community, where they put together their own economic situation and where the money went through their hands 8 times before it went out, they had a successful society. And the whites came in and destroyed it, burned it to the ground. They did that in many places that we know not about. We know about Tulsa because it became so famous for their economic success. And yet we have societies here, and I remember in leading the community control struggle in New York in the 60s, the Democratic Party, Black Democratic Party, Charlie Rangel, was against it. the leftist organizations, the socialists, and the communists were against it. This was a chance for us to have democracy the way white communities have democracy. And I will explain it one more time. You buy a loaf of bread, a quart of milk, a car, anything you do, there's tax involved in it. And the government takes the tax and gives it back to you in public works, schools, hospitals, or roads. We get none of that money. As a matter of fact, when they built the highway system, the national highway system, blacks couldn't work in it. In the North, the heavy equipment was run by union members, which were white. In the South, it was run by black workers who were not unionized, who worked for pennies. And then now, if you look at any road building operation in your community, it'll be zero blacks. If you look at any major economic works through our community, we are still unemployed. And we do not notice that. How is it that we see these things every day? We look at them and don't know what they mean because we have been denied the opportunity to learn what the economy is all about. We have been denied the opportunity of understanding imperialism. As I tell people, you live in an empire, and we are nothing but a colony of black people within the empire. We're no different than Jamaica, Haiti, any of the other countries, but they allow a few of us here and a few of us there to accumulate a few dollars, and then they say we are free. No, we are not. Until we have the opportunity to exercise that which they say is democracy, until we have the opportunity to understand that which is they say is democracy, we are going to be forever blind. And I'll conclude with in Zimbabwe, where they won their freedom from the Europeans who took the land, took South Africa, took Zimbabwe, took Angola, took our Mozambique, on and on. They put out a communication. I won't call it a newspaper. And it was a small 8.5 by 16 papers, and they transferred it. You know, they didn't have a distribution system that was large. They transferred it from hand to hand. And it was called None But Ourselves. And this led to the freedom of the country of Zimbabwe. They took the land back. And now they have deals. They made deals with the Europeans, where the Europeans were supposed to buy the land that the white farmers had taken. And, of course, the Europeans with Brown and I forget the name, Blair, they all screamed, no, 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 we can't do that. They signed an agreement, and then they reneged on the agreement, and the farmers took the land back. And this is what happened. And so we have people who are screaming and crying about Zimbabwe, while the people in Zimbabwe got educated, and now they're trying to miseducate them because they know that when you understand things, you will act on your understanding. And I am so glad, so thankful that we have Reverend Pinckney with this program, educating people as to what America has been, what it is right now, and what we must do to regain our stature as a people. We must fight for our democracy. How do we do it in an economic society? Well, the big weapon, as Reverend Pinckney has displayed, boycott. Don't buy anything. Don't buy Whirlpool. Boycott their economic situation. I will tell everybody, I do not get a flu shot, because who runs the flu shots? We have the most outrageous person, or one of the most outrageous people, in government. Mr. Cheney has a large investment in flu shots. I'm to trust Mr. Cheney with my health? No, I'll take my chances with what's in the air before I do something like that. And when we begin to analyze our situation, where we are, how we got here, how we are kept here, what organizations fought for us, what organizations that did not fight for us. We have to learn. Learn again. And this is why I fear for you, Reverend Pinckney. You are teaching. People are reacting to what you are teaching. More people are joining in. Every day you become more dangerous. So we must, you know, understand this whole thing of eugenics is not new. But we must also say we can no longer go along solving half a problem. One of the instruments of eugenics is homelessness. Lack of health care is another. You die because of these things. And there are numbers for the people who are homeless this year. How many of them are here next year? Those who do not have health care, who are there here this year? How many of us are not here next year? We eat food that's genetically engineered. We're not in the old farming where Elaine says the farmers used to bring their products into the town and people would buy them. No, we don't have that. That is gone. It is not only gone for black people, it is gone for white people. We are eating cornstarch. We are eating the sugar that kills us. And as Lynn Stewart wrote in one of her papers, they will poison the air we breathe, they will poison the water we drink, they will poison the food we eat, as long as it increases the amount in their money boxes. This is the nature of our society, and we must begin to understand it and react against it. First of all, boycott Whirlpool, as Reverend Pinckney said. That is numero uno. But there are many others we have to boycott. We have to boycott these soft drinks, Coca-Cola, companies that go to South America and kill people. And we have Eric Holder, who made a reputation defending corporations that were killing union workers in South America. It is not the problem of the immigrant that the white Americans would rather hire an oppressed immigrant for nothing than try to hire a black person in America who wants a little bit more. That's not their problem. That is our problem, that we have been here all of these years, and we went for this, I have no words for it, this integration thing that destroyed what little economy we had. And Zora Neale Hurston said many years ago, back in the 20s and 30s, don't tell me I have to sit down beside somebody white to get an education. So you see that we have all of these issues to deal with, and we do not deal with them. We do not understand them. And so our education is number uno. We must get educated to what's going on. We must understand what happened with our history. We must understand those organizations, and I'm not a religious person. I love Reverend Pinckney because he has revolutionary theology, and if you have any religion, I don't care whether it's Judaism, Islam, or Christianity, if it does not help you, it does not support you, it does not educate you, then your religion is a joke. We need more Reverend Pinckneys, we need more revolutionary theologists, and we need to listen. Thank you for your time, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you, those who listen. And I wish we could have 100 hours of Reverend Pinckney, Reverend Pinckney University, where people could sit and learn and pay attention and improve their lives. He has brought Whirlpool to their knees. Bring more down, Reverend Pinckney. I'm with you, and thanks again. And remember, this week, online is a petition for Lynn Stewart to have compassionate relief.
Amen.
Go on her website and sign on. Get your friends to sign on. Many organizations are carrying this petition. Please sign on. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much, Ralph. And I'm going to make sure that I already signed it, but I'm going to have my wife and all my children and all my email. I'm gonna have everybody. I'm gonna send it out so everybody can sign it. And we got so many people, almost 25,000 on our email list. So we know we're up there. So I'm gonna see what I can do, Ralph. I'm gonna make sure we get this thing done. And I want to thank you for standing up
and being a true soldier, a true fighter. We love you, Ralph. Amen. Now, it's T.I. time. Those T.I.s who are out there,
let me count them.
I know that people do not believe that the United States government will target individuals with microwaves, lasers, anything they get their hands on. I know it's almost a million target individuals out there who have been microwaved, the government trying to control them. But you know one thing? We're going to do something really remarkable. We're going to put a stop to it. We're going to let them know that we know what you're doing, and we're going to fight for them. I'm going to bring on a guest. Miss Terry, is that 225-8344? Are you there? Reverend Pinckney here.
Yes, this is Talera George. Sister Talera George.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, my brother Pinckney, for being so kind to give me this opportunity to speak about what I have learned and what I have gone through and helping to free myself and other people as I've gained that information. I just really kind of want to talk about a basic foundation to kind of sum up in a short period of time of what is all really going on that we could work from. You know, the government is the child, and the people we're the adults. You know, the government is the one who will sit there and carry on about things, scream, holler, throw their fits, until that the people will relent and give in to what they want. So we are all targeted for the reason that earthly resources are targeted by them. They want to own it all for their comfort and pleasure, and we are to labor and suffer for their illusions of grandeur. Now, who are we talking about? They are. This is the ruling elites, the MK Ultra, the Majestic 12, MI6, Illuminatis, Freemasons, and so on. And anyone who is not part of this group, that is the people.
Wow, that's amazing. Let me ask you something. I know you are a target individual. How did it start with you? Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Oh. I'm going to let, if you wouldn't mind, my mother, Gayla, is going to be coming on next. And she's going to talk about that, to tell you how that it started. And if I could, I wanted to put some pieces of the puzzle together on this.
Go right ahead.
You know, we are their total resources. Just a second. These ruling elites, they always boast about their bloodlines. Bloodline is very important to them because they believe that the bloodline is what gives them the right to rule. And they don't like it when the people come up and talk about our bloodlines, who we are. They get very nervous about that, and they work to try to trump that. And they talk about that their bloodline goes back to ancient times, to the time of pharaohs. And we know that they have been building their empires since this time, taking the artifacts, taking the ancient information, that which is written on stone, and building their empire so that they can remain in control while we labor for their pleasure and their comfort. It is economically intelligent to have machines to do what it would take a great number of humans to do. With their universe cities, the technology for massive beast-like computers and satellites were born and placed above, on, and within the earth. And this is their, this is indicative of their motto, what is above, so it is below. Now, the movement of the 60s and 70s was not about drugs like the government propaganda wants people to believe. It was about the revelations of the MK Ultra. In Canada, there were the MK Ultra victims that were finally able to bring into court what had been done to them and even receive a settlement on it. And the 60s and 70s were about bringing that into greater revelations. Matter of fact, there was even a group that in 1971, I love this, that they went to the steps of Congress and performed an exorcism. And they were right on the money about this, because these groups are Luciferians, these ruling groups, and which it caused them to really backlash on us and make it out that the time was all about drugs and et cetera. But they had brought Project Paperclip. This is the migration of Germany to America. And I'm sorry, just a second. In order to continue what they had done in the privacy of their labs, to bring it to where they could have global control, they had to start the propaganda about literally getting the lead out. This is, they started off with telling people that all of a sudden children were eating lead paint by the scores, and that lead paint had to be abolished. They also told us at the same time that unleaded gas was better for the environment, that we had to get the lead toxins, particles out of the air. And once they were able to achieve this, it opened it up that their satellites and their imposition beast computers were now able to access us freely. And this is the way that they work. When they want something and they need something to achieve, they will bring these propagandas out to get the people to believe that this is the this is better for you. This meant that they could access the inner dwellings. And they outlawed lead paint in America. You cannot get it here anywhere in the United States. Now, their satellites, electromagnetic energy beams, microwaves, etc., can now reach our homes. In other words, they went from hidden laboratories to every home. The entire world would be one enormous lab, and every man, woman, and child, their controlled specimens. Now, the 80s. Now, in the 80s, I read a book that was written by one of the top federal government of over import and export. And it was a woman, and she had revealed a very big part of their government plans on how they were going to lead us into a cashless society. Now, this is understanding how they were setting up and how we got to where we are, how everybody is a targeted individual, and how to get the people to request better securities for our money. And she said that while they developed the human barcode and chip, they would stage robberies of money. This would get people to request of the government to do something to secure our money. From this, they would be able to make the introduction of the credit card. And the supercomputers, which of course affectionately called the Beast by its creators, using the 66 codes and account numbers, because it has said no other sequences of numbers work better than the 66 sequence. Thus, the world this would thus there would be three sixes or more in every account. You can look on your credit cards, other accounts, and you will always see three sixes or more. The next stage would be theft of credit cards and account numbers. When this fear engineering reached its height, the people would demand of the government again for better security for their money. Now, you must always remember that when you're looking at things, that this is all engineered and orchestrated by them. governments always will create the problems so that to get the people to demand of them solutions. Their ultimate goal is a chip implant for every man, woman, and child.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that, I'm listening to what you read there, are you saying that that everybody's going to be implanted with something?
Yes, this has been their goal for many decades, that to get people to receive the implant is to start hitting their economic resource, their money.
Mm-hmm.
And by causing these problems and presenting like there is this great problem, it will get the people going, we can't afford to have our money stolen like this. We need something better secure. You know, they're robbing the banks. How are we going to be able to protect our money? Well, here we got a solution. We have a credit card. Now you can just have this card. You don't have to worry about being mugged on the street for your money, because this will have to have a personal identification number. You just swipe it and you go. Well, then they'll come up with ways to take your credit card, to access your numbers, and people will then start, well, this credit card isn't secure. We need something more secure. It's all developed in stages to get this implant into us, to get it into the one world government. Now,
well, let me ask you a question. What if I don't want the implant? What happens?
Okay, here's how they set that up. They know that they need us to be into their medical facilities. And how were they going to be able to start getting people in a great number, in multitudes, into their facilities where they can work on us, to where they could do this? They started contaminating our food and our water. They know that what will cause tumors, what will cause specific illnesses. We have a massive amount of tumor problems, and interesting enough, you see a lot with the reproductive system, like Sister Lane was talking about, the sterilizing of women, you know, and controlling birth rates, controlling societies, you know. And with these increasing numbers of illnesses, therefore we would have to seek them out to have a solution for the problem they created.
Wow. Let me ask you this. Hugo Chavez, they said that he was murdered. They said that I know a little bit about Michael. Could microwaving give you cancer too?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
Could microwave give you cancer also?
Most certainly.
A person that being microwave.
Yes, because it produces radiation. Electromagnetic energy produces radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And they love radiation. And it was one of the primary tools that they used in their private labs on children, men and women. You break down the body, totally break down the body, wipe everything out, and then they start rebuilding. Got the implant in, and they can start working on you to be what they want you to be, which is a slave labor to them, and all your resources, everything goes to them.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But listen, you got about 60 seconds. Say whatever you want. Hello?
Start reading labels.
Start reading labels.
Start getting back to the way that our grandparents and our parents used to cook. Start putting your own ingredients into your food. Stop getting into these fads. Question when they say that, oh, this is supposed to be really good for you, it'll cure this, this, and this. Start bringing down their direction of what they where they want you to go. Start getting on the internet and look these things up. Because remember that they don't really have the resources to have a great number of people per person. So the logical direction for them to go was to do electronic control and to put into the people fluoride. Stop using fluoride, because fluoride will calcify the pineal gland, which is what they call the God gland. And it is what is also used with the prisoners, such as we know in the Holocaust. How was it that several thousand people were controlled by just a handful of soldiers? They poisoned their food, their water with fluoride, because it makes people very docile. So we are chemically and electronically controlled. Two main ingredients, and it's everywhere. So start getting back to the earth, eating natural, go to natural medicine, start getting away from their chemicals. And by God, please, people, stop using the birth control. Stop using it. And men, on this part, please step up. Step up. It's a few cents to use a protection, as opposed to a woman having to take these chemicals that are causing all kinds of birth defects, because autism was never known until the birth control came out. When a woman has to use these birth control devices, she has become one of the top money makers for medicine. And if I could say right quick for our men, because I'm really big on this, because I'm very, very afraid for our men. When I studied medicine, they talked about how women were the number one income, number one resource financially for medical pharmaceutical companies. And they talked about how they could make men become that resource too. But men are not so easily to take pills, medicine, and thankfully so. So how were they going to get our men to start becoming a medical resource, getting them to take their chemicals to get them there? They had to come up with something that not only, again, now this is getting people to go, we want this, we need this resolved, we give this to us. How would they be able to get these chemicals into our men? They've done it through male enhancements. And now our men, now they covered up. They
wow,
covered
that's
up
a good one.
How many millions of our men became sick in the hospital and even died from this?
Wow, that's amazing. Listen, I want to thank you. And listen, we don't have time to bring your mom on today, but we'll get her next week. So, hey, I really appreciate the call. Just hang on. I'm going to let you say the final word, because you gave us a little education there. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Brother Pinckney.
All right,
thank you, everyone.
Amen. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm Reverend Pinckney.
How you doing today?
I'm doing real good. I want to say my heart goes out to Elaine, because I studied that. They used to take women in front of judges and make them get sterilized at 13, 14 years old. I read all about that, so my heart goes out to her. But you ask a question. Russia accused the United States of killing Chavez with cancer. Yes, they can. I sent a woman to Europe to interview a microwave scientist named Barry Trower. And that's spelled B-A-R-R-Y-T-R-O-W-E-R. You can Google him up. He's all over the internet. He says, I can tell you the frequencies that they use to cause brain cancer, cause prostate cancer. So, yes, this technology can be used on any world leader to cause cancer. And the next thing, this, and after hearing Elaine's story, I find it hard to believe why anybody would have a hard time believing that our government's doing this to TIs. After what she made a very good statement about it, what they're doing. So if the government did that to her, and not only her, and probably millions more that don't even know it, this technology is used. They put people into prison. You look at our prison population today, probably 71% of the blacks are in the prison. This technology is used for many different things to make money. It's a shame what our government's doing. And then I think it was, I forget which one, Randy, I think, he's talking about the sweeteners and all the candy. All you people drink PepsiCo out there, Pepsi products. I told a woman the other day, she's drinking a Pepsi. I said, hey, how you like that Pepsi? Oh, I love it. I said, how you like the sweetness of it? She said, very well. I said, do you know they're buying that from China, from aborted fetuses in China, and they're adding that to their Pepsi? She looked at me like a deer in the headlights. I said, go Google it up. So I know she won't do it. I got to go back in Monday to pay them for the service they did. So I went in and Googled it up myself. And it says PepsiCo moves forward with aborted fetus cells for sweetener. So I said, I'm going to take it to her Monday and let her read it. PepsiCo is using that same thing, and they're putting this in our products, and they don't even tell you a thing about it. Just like fluoride in the water, ascertain in our, and chewing gum and pop, it all causes cancers and diabetes. They don't tell you nothing about it. And the other day I heard that they were going to come out with ascertain in all the milk products, and they're not even going to label it. So, yes, they are killing us with food, fluoride in our water, all of it. They're using all this against us.
Hey, so, Ken, can you tell me some of the symptoms of a TI?
Well, first thing you notice is all of a sudden you start having the worst luck in the world. And then people tell you, oh, that happens to everybody. No, it don't happen to everybody because they do it incrementally. All of a sudden, no matter what you buy, it'll break. This happens. I mean, it's a horrific program. It's very well engineered. I'm not going to say they're stupid. They're stupid if they think they're going to get by with it, because when this all comes down, they're going to start arresting a lot of these globalists, and most of them are white elite globalists. I will say that I am white. But if you look at Iran, just prosecuted their bankers over there. They stole $2.3 trillion. They sentenced two of them to death. 25 of them went into prison for 25 years, and numerous others went to jail. Iceland did the same thing. When are we going to start arresting these bankers for what they're doing to the United States? Well, I don't know how long it's going to take us to wake up. And the reason I'm on this show is the black people have been the most oppressed, and I figure sooner or later the black people would be the easiest ones to wake up. That, you know, and it's because the white people, I'm around white people all the time. I'm also around black people, but white people just refuse to believe that our government would do this to them. They'll walk right into the FEMA camps to get fed because that's how dumb they are. The last place you want to end up is
Ken,
the FEMA
tell us about
camp.
That faith-based money.
That what?
The faith-based money that these ministers are getting.
Oh, the clergy response team.
Yeah.
That every big church, and a lot of them won't admit it, but they bought into it. They get paid to teach a certain teachings of the Bible, and they get paid, and they're told, if we have martial law, you tell your people, go turn their guns in and go to FEMA camp so they'll be taken care of. Well, I'll tell you right now, the last place you want to go to is a FEMA camp so they can vaccinate you. And at the end of the line, they got the incinerators in there to burn your body up after you die. It's no different than eugenics from Germany. These people better be questioning their pastors and their ministers of what if they belong to that. But it's very dangerous, the road we're going down right now.
Wow, you know what? See, people don't understand. You're a TI yourself, but you have plenty of information, and I appreciate you. But listen, I got to move on. I got to bring on Libby Hunter. Libby Hunter, are you there? Hunter. Let me move on. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. What an educational and inspiring show that we're having today. I want to thank you for having Elaine Riddick on. You know, she and what she went through with the eugenics and sterilization program is something that tens of thousands of black people, probably that many Native Americans, many, many poor whites were also sterilized by the elitists, and many of them are very respected people in government and Planned Parenthood. You know, as a matter of fact, Eric Holder's wife owns an abortion clinic here in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia. So many people think that blacks should not have children. They should not procreate because we are called on that film, MAAFA21. We're called imbeciles and lower life, and we should not have children. That that genocide goes on every day. In other words, they push us to put as many people of color behind bars as possible during their childbearing years. That's also a part of the eugenics program, to arrest masses of young people and keep them incarcerated during their childbearing years. Now, all of this is what's going on. I didn't know anything about the eugenics program. It certainly opened my eyes to why they secretly arrested and murdered my brother. You know, the thing is that they were getting rid of a mentally ill person. And, you know, Hitler, he started, Germany started, Nazi Germany, by killing the mentally ill. And so my brother was mentally ill, so he is unworthy of life. Now, that's the situation that is going on. I have COINTELPRO today. There were five addresses online with me at Facebook, Wilmerson, Texas. So I say to you, COINTELPRO, that you're doing yourself no good by stalking me. Why COINTELPRO targets Mary Neal? This is also a part of the targeted individual program, to stalk a person, to censor them. You see, the murderers of Larry Neal, this disabled Memphis man, have too many officials to fire and prosecute to do justice to the Neal family regarding the secret arrest and wrongful death of Larry Neal. The USA had already sued Memphis Shelby County Jail over inmate abuse. When Larry was kidnapped and murdered by police there in 2003, the U.S. DOJ allowed the jail to withhold any inmate fatality report about the murder. Therefore, they sent in false reports saying no inmate had died in custody. Now they are all guilty of conspiracy to defraud the USA, as well as my family, and they became accessories to murder after the fact. And those are crimes that deserve long prison terms. They would rather persecute, follow, censor, and possibly kill Larry's family than send officials to prison who signed the lying reports. Because if you sign a report and say it's factual and you deliberately omitted a murdered man's name, then what you've done is you filed fraudulent reports. Now, who had to sign the reports? Probably the mayor, the county commission, the county DA, the sheriff, the U.S. DOJ officials who were an overview of the jail because they were already under federal overview. It's a mess. I tell them all the time that they should just pay their damages because they don't want to send all of those officials to prison. They don't want to do right, okay, because prisons are for people in the regular class. It's not for people, the elitists and their plantation owners. You and I know that. But we are black and therefore not deemed worthy of life anyway. They probably thought they did us a favor killing Larry, a mentally, physically disabled man. The Cochran Bureau was supposed to stop us from asking for justice by taking the wrongful death lawsuit and then never really filing suit. But what happened is we sued them. So when we sued the Cochran firm for defrauding the Neal family, they had Judge Wendy Shube in Georgia Superior Court to rule falsely that there is no Cochran firm office in the state of Georgia. That's the ruling from Georgia Superior Court, an outright lie. And then when we sued the Cochran firm in federal court, they had Judge Timothy Batten to say that lawyers defrauding my family is immaterial. So what he did was took something that's the law. The law is against fraud. But he decided that we are omitted from that law. See, black genocide is allowed. It's an allowed sport in the USA. And you can look up Black Genocide, Alpha 21, and just be amazed at the people like President Roosevelt and, I mean, people that you might have respected. Look at them talk about black people and how to keep their numbers low and how they must protect the purity of the white race. And really, they're not worried about white people either. Don't feel congratulated if you are Caucasian, because the truth is they did this enforced sterilization to poor whites in the Appalachian area and what have you. The truth is they think that they are the only ones worthy to be here and worthy to run things, and they have a few blacks at the helm of city government, county government, and even national government, but these people that you see are not the ones who are in power. They are simply plantation overseers, and their job is to keep us, that all of us, black, white, Asian, Native American, they're to keep us in line and to keep us satisfied with our position, which is necessarily beneath the status quo. As a matter of fact, that was one of the stated goals of COINTELPRO. I have an article that I want y'all to please check out at Justice Gagged, G-A-D-D-E-D, Justice Gagged, and it says, Mary Neal to Facebook, Resynthesis. I'm getting my echo now. Do you hear me?
I do hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. The thing is, I wrote to Facebook because I found that it said five others were online with me today. And
uh-huh.
I captured that information. And also, the situation is that people told me at Facebook that when they attempt to go to my blog and read about my Alpha 21 Black Genocide, that they got a message saying that the blog was dangerous to their computers.
Mm.
Now, Google is one of the largest, if not the largest, name on the internet, and they don't have dangerous blogs. So if you get that message going to my blog, please contact Google and let them know, because that is a lie to keep you from reading about the many people that I write about who have been dogged out and who are currently in need of assistance. I want to thank Ralph Porter for coming with me on the radio this week. We went to Justice we went to For Justice Now, and that is particularly designed organization to help women in prison, and that's their radio show, For Justice Now, and that's the number four. And Ralph talked beautifully for Lynn Stewart, and he also let us know about his petition to please give her compassionate release. And now I ask with him, please give Lynn Stewart compassionate release. She has stage 4 cancer. She's over 70 years old. How is she a danger to anyone? How was she a danger initially? The only thing she endangered is lies. Lies and deceit. People who tell the truth are dangerous to people who want to be liars and deceitful to other people. And the final thing I want to say, sir, is that we have a situation where a gentleman was freed from prison. He was there for 2 years without trial, and his name is Steve Slevin. He is a Caucasian. He was in a New Mexico jail. They had him in solitary confinement for 2 years and didn't give him a trial. He didn't have trial. He's in solitary confinement 2 years without trial. He will receive $15.5 million settlement. The man lost his mind there in solitary confinement for 2 years. He complained to the employees. He said that he was having trouble sleeping. He spent his days rocking back and forward. He said he was having panic attack and shakes, and they ignored his mental health deteriorating because the important thing is that he was making money for the system. And what about blacks who have been in jail 40 years in solitary confinement down there in Angola prison in Louisiana? What about them? What about Geronimo Jajega Pratt, who was in solitary confinement for 8 years and in prison a total of 27 years on a crime that he didn't commit, a setup by COINTELPRO? He only got $4.5 million, and it took a lot of people in Europe and America and all around the world advocating for Geronimo Jajega Pratt, who was the Minister of Defense for the Black Panther Party, to even get $4.5 million for the dirty, low-down, slave master way they treated him. He got $4.5 million. The thing is that this man was in jail. Steve Slavin, a white man, was in jail for 2 years, dogged out completely, ignored. They made him lose his mind. He was arrested, by the way, on just a little DUI charge. Okay, I'm not minimizing DUI, but I'm saying it's not a crime in the sense that murdering someone is. And he got $15.5 million from California, whereas Geronimo Jajega Pratt was there 27 years, 8 of them in solitary, and he got $4.5 million. And most people, black people that they kill like they did the wrongful death of Larry Neal, they don't want to give anything. And it all goes back to what Elaine Reddick was talking about, and that is black suicide, black genocide. They want to make you lose your mind. They would like to make what they lack and say true, that we are not up to par, that we cannot run anything, we cannot govern ourselves. And they also destroy cities traditionally, like, for instance, Rosewood here in Georgia and Tulsa, Oklahoma. The cities that raise up and are run by black people and are very successful, that prove their lie, they destroy those cities. And they destroy individuals also who are like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and like Malcolm X and like Jane, who may be next door to you. They destroy people who prove that they are liars. I want you to also look online for an article in my Mary Loves Justice blog. That's Mary Loves Justice. It is regarding Malcolm Shabazz, who is the grandson of Malcolm X. He talks about how he was prevented from going to Iran by an arrest by the FBI. They picked him up on something that wasn't anything, and they kept him during the period of time when he was supposed to be in Iran, and he talks about that. And in my Mary Loves Justice blog, it says Malcolm Shabazz reveals FBI harassment. So please look at that, and it's his own words. Read what he's telling us, because he's aware that a lot of people were talking about him and wondering about him and praying for him, and he offers an explanation as to what they did to him and why he was detained. And so this is going on, this COINTELPRO activity is going on, and it's for the same reason, I believe, that it started, and that is to prevent a black messiah, and it's also to undermine organizations and groups like yourself, Reverend Pinckney, who have Banco, and you're using it to alert people and pop out red pills. You're pushing red pills. And your organization is something that they do not like, I'm sure, because they undermine, consider this, Caucasian children young adults were shut down like dogs at Kent State University. So anybody who questions the status quo, anyone who reveals things that they thought were well hidden, like the secret arrest and murder of Larry Neal, anyone who challenges people to do better and think better and live higher, like Leon Stewart, anyone who does these things, it's against the status quo. And what their status quo means is elitist Caucasians, not just Caucasians. Being Caucasian, if you have not learned anything else from listening to the Reverend Pinckney Show and listening to all of these Caucasians come on and say they're targeted, listen to Rosie Press when she comes on and says that she was hurt by a student in L.A. County Schools, sprayed with a fire extinguisher, and they refused to give her any her right amount of workman's compensation or any workman's compensation. If you've not learned anything else by listening to the Reverend Pinckney Show, you should know that this is not totally racially slanted. It is a class warfare that is going on. And they do not necessarily respect whites in the working class to a higher degree than they do blacks or Latinos or Native Americans. But what they respect is that Caucasians may have more support than other groups. Therefore, they hurry up when they killed Kelly Thomas, a white man in the street, six police officers beating the death on video. They hurried up and paid his family because they realized that that the American public and the world public may care more because Kelly Thomas was white-skinned. But it's not that they have necessarily a whole lot more respect for white-skinned people than they do black-skinned people, because these people who are Nazis and who are trying to push their agenda and become the New World Order, they really, if you're not in the New World Order club, you're all slaves.
That's
to
right.
them. You're all
hey, you got 60 seconds.
Slaves.
Go right ahead.
And that's what we need to know. And I thank you very much for letting me. I could tell you other things, but I know that time is short. And you can look at my articles and blogs for information. I'm at Assistance. I'm the director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. And I would like for you to each please take time to go to Dog Justice for the Mentally Ill. That's a blog. And just put in there Dog Justice for the Mentally Ill, or put in Mary Neal, Dog Justice. Dog Justice is one of the most censored poems in America. It's probably the most censored because it tells about my brother's secret arrest for 18 days, during which time they may have been doing medical experiments, or they may have tasered him, or they definitely kept him from his heart drugs. They murdered him, and then they refused to give us any due process of life. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. You may hear me over the echo if I say it again. Nothing changed about that determination to hide his murder when Obama, President Obama, came in with his administration.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
The object of the game is to keep people from knowing that mentally ill people are arrested by 1.25 million, and many of them are killed behind bars, and over 50% of the police brutality incidents in America happen to mentally ill victims. Most often, it's mentally ill victims. And so they've already clearing out the mentally ill, and so they're ready to go up the food chain. In Germany, when they got through killing three...
Hello? Hello? Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am. I love listening to Mary. Mary's so wonderful. I'm so blessed to be here with you today.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you.
Thank you. I heard Elaine's story. I can feel it through my whole body. I am so sorry that this happened to her and anyone else. And it doesn't make any difference if you're white or black or brown. they're after all of us.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how's your case going?
Okay, my case, the L.A. District Attorney's Office, and thank you all for your prayers, will have the report next week, and they will let me know. And if it's no, then I want to sit down with them again and go over line by line of what Judge Gerald Cohn and Dr. Stahlberg did. Judge Cohn made a medical diagnosis and changed all the facts to lower my rating, not give me the medical treatment I need, and deny me any money. So my health is deteriorating. I'm losing my house, my car. I cannot pay my bills. And Dr. John Stahlberg of Santa Monica adopted his medical diagnosis and changed all the facts to go along with the judge and was paid $16,770, and that's $700 a page, which
wow.
is disgusting. But I called my assemblyman's office, Bob Blumenfield, which is so unbelievable, and when I called, they had heard from two other teachers from LAUSD, ladies, and they had horrific stories, and then they heard mine, and I kept faxing over papers to give them the information, the facts. And I went in on Thursday to discuss it, and they could see how Judge Cohn made the medical diagnosis and changed the facts. They could see exactly what Dr. Stahlberg did, which is wonderful. And my lawyer, Clint Fetterson, will be going in on Monday to talk to his office.
Wow.
So I am hoping that came to me that we should have a bill, because my case went all the way to the Supreme Court, as you know. And they denied it, but we need a bill that this never happens again, and my case should be reconsidered because they pay Judge Cohn. And because he represents them, he was not impartial, he was not honest, and he repeatedly lied on practically every line to lower my rating. He conspired with Dr. Stahlberg to do this to me. So there needs to be a bill that they never do this to anybody. We couldn't get it from the Supreme Court, but maybe, and I'm going to believe if we all pray together and stand together, that we will have a bill for everyone out of Assemblyman Bob Blumenfield's office.
Wow. Rosie, look, we're kind of short of time, but you got about 60 seconds. Say whatever you want.
Okay, I want to say also that Charles Smith, a wonderful black man. I'm white. He was black. There must be Latino teachers. There must be Asian teachers that they've done just terrible things to. All of us have to come together. We have to stand together, and united we can win because we have God on our side.
That's right.
And
hey,
we do have God on our side. I am praying for Lynn as I walk around my house every night. I want to receive the email so I can e-blast it out too, so we can all pray for her. I got a beautiful email from a lady named Angela, so my prayers are with you. She's a TI lady. I am praying for everyone. Your show is so fabulous. It informs all of us about what is happening in the world today, the real things, and we cannot ignore them or we will not have a world.
That's right. You're absolutely correct, Ross.
Right.
And you know one thing, on this show, we love everybody.
Right. We love everybody. We stand together. Everybody. If anybody wants to contact me, it's Rosie Wow, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W at AOL.com. Or through Reverend Pinckney. This is a blessing for everybody, all of us together. That's what God intended. He did not intend us to be fighting with each other or going after each other just because of the color of our skin.
That's right. Hey, Rob, thanks very much. You have a good night.
You're welcome. Love everybody.
All right. Ms. Presley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing today?
Oh, excellent. Getting better. How are you?
Great, great. Listen, I had the opportunity to speak about you. I was in Colorado Springs yesterday, and I was around some NAACP people, and I had to explain to them what happened with you.
they're listening to this right now. Could you tell them just a little bit? We don't have a whole lot of time, but you can just tell us how this lady, go ahead, just tell us the story.
You want me, are you saying it to me?
Yes, I am.
Yes, just briefly, my presidency was taken from me. I won the presidency of the Columbia County NAACP branch twice. And also my civil life membership was suspended indefinitely. Well, it didn't say whether it was indefinite or what, but it was suspended. And the reason that they gave is the fact that they said I filed charges against a lady. This lady who's a friend of the state president and I guess other officers. But she approached me in a parking lot, a public parking lot, threatened me, almost ran over me, my husband, and others, and I was advised by my lawyer to file charges, to report it to the police department, which I did. And after I reported to the police department, then I guess the head of the NAACP got angry because this was one of her friends. As a result of that, I was elected president, and I was suspended by receiving a letter January 2nd, 2013,
wow.
From jailers saying that I was suspended. And also later on, about a day or two later, I received a letter from the fourth vice president here saying that my presidency was taken from me because I filed charges. I tried to defend myself. This lady has a history of law entanglements. She does not have a clean history. And I was advised by my lawyer. And as of this day, they have not granted a hearing to me. I requested a hearing on January the 5th, and they have completely ignored my request. So
wow.
The charges are very frivolous, and they will not even respond to my request. Now, that's the NAACP, which is supposed to be the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
And you know one thing, when I spoke about it on yesterday, I said that this lady, she was driving a car so fast in the parking lot, she almost killed you and your husband.
That's right, and three others.
And three other people. And
yet
the NAACP sent a lawyer out to defend her, and she had committed a crime.
That's right. Sent one of them, her name was Attorney Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Sent
I should write her a letter. I think if you get a chance, you email me her address. I need to talk to that attorney.
Yes. Well,
absolutely. Listen, I don't have no more time for you, but I really appreciate you coming on. But we're going to get together this week. We have a phone conference coming up, and I want to make sure that you be on that phone conference.
Thank you very much for all that you do.
All right. God bless you now.
God
and
bless you, too.
Yourself.
Bye.
All right. Elaine.
Yes.
You got the final word. You can say whatever your heart desires.
Okay. First of all, I was listening to everyone, and I agree with everything that everyone had to say. I want to say first starting out with microwaves. Microwaves have been causing cancer since microwaves have been out. And I want to say our children are our biggest assets, and they're trying our children now, little young children, 11 and 12 years old, as adults right now. So, you know, we have to fight for them. And also Obama, when I took my case to the United States Supreme Court, and that was in the 70s. And when this thing came out with North Carolina a couple of years ago, after Obama got in office, he had the audacity to say that it was the lifestyle that I led, not knowing that I was a young 13-year-old innocent victim, never had sex before, but yet and still he made that statement about me that it was a life that I led. And I want to tell people that if you know of anyone that abortion is a sin, that it is against God's will, and God asks us to come. God put us here to be fruitful, multiply, and to replenish the earth in his image. But when we go and kill off our offsprings and our babies and go to these abortion clinics, we have to answer for that crime. That is a crime right there. Abortion is a crime. And I also want to say that eugenics is also responsible for paving the way for today's selective abortion practices, in which babies are aborted because of their race or their sex.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, and I know you are. I know what you have went through, and I just want to say to you, you know, that we're proud of you, and we want you to know that we love you, and we're gonna do whatever we can to help. And we got a lot of people that's listening today. Those of you that's out there listening, we need you to come out and support Elaine. And also, we want you also to support Lynn Stewart. We want you to make sure that we understand that we support each other on this radio show. And we have more than enough listeners to really get out there and do some things. And I really, really appreciate you. And I'm hoping that next week that you can come on also so you can give us just a little bit more. But I got to leave you right now. I got to go to Ralph because I got something very important I got to tell him.
That's fine.
All right. Now, Ralph Porter, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. And I would ask everybody to go to lynnstewart.org and see her petition for compassionate release. Be patient. We're working on it as we speak, but it will be there today or tomorrow, and sign on. And thank you, Reverend, for giving us an opportunity to educate ourselves, and every organization that we belong to must support community control, our religious organizations, our political organizations, so that we, too, can participate in this so-called democracy of America, economically, educationally, socially, and politically. Thank you.
Absolutely,
so much.
Absolutely. And listen, I want all my TIs to make sure you go to Lynn Stewart and sign that petition. I know you're going to do it because I'm Ali. I want to make sure that you tell everybody to go out there and sign that petition for Lynn Stewart. On that note, I got to bring on Randy Short. Randy Short, you only got about 30 seconds. Say whatever you want.
I want to remind everybody, the woman who said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, is Fannie Lou Hamer. She was sterilized. I want to say to folks that this thing runs generations. They killed my great-grandmother, two of my grandmothers, and almost took my mother through experimentation. We must stop this. And last but not least, please pray for the safe reentry from Venezuela of our fighter, our leader, sister leader Cynthia McKinney. Please pray that they don't do anything to her. She comes back from Venezuela to tell us what they did to Hugo Chavez. God bless you.
All right now. Hey, appreciate that. Mary, are you back?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and I want to thank you. You know, Reverend Pinckney, this that you are doing, your organization, Banco, it deserves so much more than we can possibly give you. But the least that we can do is to sign a check for just $10, $20, $5. Send it to Reverend Pinckney. You know, a lot of us are no longer associated with churches, or maybe we moved or we're away from our church home and haven't chosen a new one. A lot of people have been giving donations to civic organizations and civil rights organizations like NAACP. And these people, in many of the organizations and in some of the churches, are not addressing the social and even the spiritual needs of the people. So I suggest that everybody would sit down right away at the end of your show and do two things. Grab the link to the show from Blog Talk. That's Reverend Pinckney Blog Talk. And send it out to everybody on your email list. Do that. Help spread the word. And secondly, write a check and send it to Reverend Pinckney at Banco so that he can go to the NAACP on April 3rd in Washington, D.C., and go to the NAACP headquarters offices on April 4th. That is the day that we commemorate the death of Martin Luther King, Jr. He's going there, and he will protest on your behalf and my behalf. And we need to send money so he can have a nice hotel room and so that he can order what he wants to from the kitchen and so he can have traveling money. This is what we need to do because a lot of us are not going to be there in March. If you are able to be there, please do. But if not, please send $5, $10, $1,000 to help Reverend Pinckney to stand up for the oppressed and the poor and those who are pointed to death. That's what God told him to do in Proverbs 31, verses 8 through 9. That's what God told you and me to do. And many of us have not gotten there yet. We don't have the nerve, we don't have the time, we don't have the resources, but let's do what we can to send something to Reverend Pinckney. And, you know, his success is our success. So, Reverend Pinckney, please give your address so that all the people who want to be a part of what you're doing will have an opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. You can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Remember that, and we do not have any more time. I will see you all next week, same time, same thing. God bless you, and have a beautiful night.
I'm talking about the person.